Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.
Good evening, ThinkBigRadio.com listeners.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com.
We have a very special guest tonight, DJ Teresa, all the way from St. Petersburg, Florida. DJ,
I sure am. Hey, how are you?
I am great. I've been wanting to get you on this show for so long. Your music is just awesome. Before we get this interview started, can you please share with our listeners how they can reach you?
The easiest way to reach me is through my website, which is www.djteresa.net. There's a contact me form on there. You can hear some of my mixes there, and you can hear both released and unreleased original works of mine there.
Great. Why don't you start off by telling our listeners a little bit about yourself, you know, where you're from. You have a large family, small family. Just a little bit about who you are.
Sure, sure. Well, I was born and raised in Florida, St. Petersburg, Florida area. Been here most of my whole life. Until last year, I had only been out of the Florida like three times, and then it were very interesting. Last year, I did my first international travel and played gigs in Ibiza, Spain, and just returned this weekend from another week to start the season over there. As far as my family goes, I'd say I have a small family. I grew up with one brother, younger than me by 5 years. Right now, for family, I have my grandmother, my brother, my aunt, her children, and that's about it. So it's a pretty small family.
Okay, so what was it about music that, you know, what drew you to music out of all the different things you could have been doing in that hot area out there?
I was always really drawn to it. Even as a child, I grew up playing saxophone. I really loved it. I had fancy ideas of maybe playing in a band, like, you know, Dave Matthews Band or something like that when I got through with high school, and never really hooked up with the right people. And the people around me really didn't encourage me to pursue music as a profession. They really thought it was a great hobby, but not something that you should make a living on. And I kind of, sad to say, sort of dropped it for a while. Again, like after a divorce in my early 30s, I really kind of went through a period of self-discovery, and I really got back into music, and I realized that it was a strong part of me that I had been ignoring for too long. And after I finished college, I went back to college at USF and finished my bachelor's degree in marketing. And when I got done, I just couldn't imagine going back to work in a corporate workplace. It just really wasn't for me. I really wanted music. It was absolutely in my soul. I started DJing, and in the process of DJing, all of a sudden, the fundamentals of music kind of snapped. And all of a sudden, I understood the innate being of a song structure and how they work together. And I realized that I had it in me the whole time. I just second-guessed it or didn't let it out, and I jumped in it with both feet. So that's kind of how I really got back into it. It was something that I've accomplished sort of more late in life, actually.
Wow. You know, and it's funny you said that you went back to it, and how many times that a lot of our big thinkers may have had these gut feelings about what they should be doing, but there's so many outside influences that can make us change our mind or just tell us these little things where we don't fulfill that need. So it appears that you are very fulfilled after you, you know, started back doing it what you love.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It took a lot for me to admit it to myself, though, and for the same reasons that you just brought up, is that, I mean, we grow up in a world where everybody wants to tell us what they think we should do, and very few people have the courage of their own convictions to sit down and internally, you know, have a look and be completely honest about what they want, because when you're completely honest, you realize that, okay, I'm not going to make a great living in music, but am I going to be happy every day? Yes. Is it going to bring other people around me happiness? Yes. And some of the most magic words I've heard that complete me like no other are, you inspire me. And I don't even think I'm necessarily worthy of that kind of inspiration, but to have been able to do it in my lifetime, and even if I don't achieve greatness, if that inspiration inspires someone else to greatness, then I've done something really magic and powerful. And it took a long time for me to really admit to myself it's what I wanted. There was actually a great book that I picked up when I was sort of, you know, divorced and going through, you know, some introspective times and trying to figure out, you know, what I really wanted in life. And one of the best books I've read is called Finding Your Own North Star by Martha Beck. And you really analyze. And when you sit down and you think about the things that have influenced you, you usually have thoughts in your head, well, they won't like that, or everyone thinks. And when you sit down and you really start analyzing who they are and who everyone is, it's generally only four or five people around you. And it's probably not people that you would really trust the opinion of. So why in the world do you let them, you know, guide your decisions is kind of ludicrous, you know? And so that realization kind of really gave me the courage to pursue it no matter what.
So, and I understand that your music has even allowed you to travel.
Yeah, it is. I didn't mess around. I went right to the house music capital of the world. I started out here in Tampa. I've played for the last year and a half at the number one club for house music in Tampa. I'm one of their resident DJs. I played a couple events during Winter Music Conference this year in Miami. And then last September, I really just went for it. And I managed to get booked at a club in Ibiza. And anybody that knows really good electronic music knows that Ibiza during the summertime is just the absolute capital for it. And I went for it. And I worked hard while I was there. I went and I met clubs, and I went for a purpose. And it's a really big party island, and it's hard not to have a good time. But I was there to work, and I worked hard. I came back with a great letter of reference. And those doors that I opened going there actually brought me back there again last week. And I, in addition to the content connections and the contacts that I made, I also entered a contest and won a contest to play one of the top eight clubs in the world, which is on that island. And I just couldn't pass it up. I had to go. So I've actually been to Ibiza and back twice in the last 9 months.
Wow. When you first believed that you could accomplish a part of your life mission, you know, what factors came into play?
Well, the idea that you have to be unbelievably committed to it, and I cannot explain the level of commitment or the extent of go for it that you have to do to make anything happen. Everybody, most people have some kind of musical inclination, or they'd like to think they do. And with the advent of technology and DJing, everybody wants to be a DJ. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're a good musician or that you really should be a DJ. You know, we all want to, you know, pick out tracks and selections for a party, but there's more to it when you become a high-end club DJ. It's not just a matter of, you know, being a human jukebox and selecting some tracks. You really have to put a lot of work into it, and the dedication is mind-boggling. And you lose relationships over it. You can lose respect with your family over it. Both of those things have happened to me as a result of it. The amount that I am involved in what I do, I mean, requires countless hours every week, and they're not always hours that you see a visible paycheck for in that moment. Just in the studio, production-wise, from the time that you sit in the studio and create a track until you release it and see your first royalty check, if it's a great track and it gets released instantly, is easily a year and a half before you see one penny from your work. And
wow.
So a lot of people really don't understand why you stay committed and why you stay focused. And they, you know, they may try to discourage you, and they may question. They may even go so far as to question where your priorities are in your life. And that's when your courage and your convictions and, you know, your faith in the final end has to come into play, because it has to carry you past those things. And they are kind of heartbreaking, but, you know, it is part of the business. So we move on.
Wow, I mean, that was so well put. And, you know, one of the big things that I'd like to point out is when you said commitment. And it a lot of people, they want to do things, but, you know, they don't want to commit.
Yeah, and those are the guys that every time you talk to them, they're talking about what they're going to do next and what they're going to do next week and this next piece of equipment that they have to buy so they can get started. And that's the general nature of their conversation every time. And those people never really go anywhere. Best thing people can do is actually go out and do things rather than say what they're going to do and just go do it, you know. And it comes down to absolute commitment.
So what would you say when you decided to start off and you knew that you could wait no longer, how long did it actually take for you to, you know, set up your plan and then take action on your plan and then receive your first fruits, your results?
Well, it was a bumpy road for me. I became a DJ with no equipment and a producer with no studio. It was absolute dedication that took me from start to finish. When I sat down and I decided I wanted...
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that again? Because that is what people need to hear when it comes to business.
It was tricky. I became a DJ with no equipment and a producer with no studio. I wanted to learn. I knew I was at that time, you know, promoting for other DJs and being a musician and being as ingrained in the music as I am, I knew I would be good at it. I just needed someone to show me how to use the equipment. And no one really wanted to show me. And I had a party at my house and somebody left their equipment there. They came over and they gave me my first and only 20-minute DJ lesson and left the equipment at my house for a few months. And then they moved away. And I didn't have the resources to go out and buy my own equipment. And after that, I had to put out notices on MySpace and ask people if they would like to be my spin buddy and invite me over so I could play on their equipment. And I had limited practice opportunities because I didn't have the cash to put out for it. From the moment that I had my first DJ lesson until I got my equipment was a year, a little over a year. And within 6 months of that, I was a resident at the top club in Tampa for house music. And a year later, I was in Ibiza. It just depends on how bad you want it. I mean, you have to sometimes make opportunities.
Making opportunities. And that involves a lot of doing and action words.
Wow, and thinking outside of the box. I mean, think of unusual ways to get what you need. Sometimes just reaching out and asking, and I'm not even one to reach out and ask, you know. It's really kind of hard for me, but, as, you know, sometimes you can reach out and ask for a favor. When the person left the equipment at my house, I didn't have a pair of headphones, and you can't really DJ and learn how to DJ club DJ without them. And I know that Sony headphones all break in the same place on the side, and most people have a pair of broken headphones where one side works in their box in the closet. So I put out a bulletin on MySpace, said, broken headphones, anyone? And I said, hey, I'm trying to learn how to DJ. Anyone have a pair of broken headphones I can have? And within 20 minutes, I had a response, and within an hour, I had a pair of headphones to practice with.
Ask and you shall receive. I'm amazed because a lot of the guests that we have on the show, we talk with them, you know, a little beforehand and, you know, after the show, but we really didn't get to talk that much because of your schedule. So a lot of these things, you know, I'm just finding out about now. But I applaud how you went ahead with your dreams under what most people will say broke. But what we use for broke is build regardless of known environment, because you can always change your environment, which clearly, in just a little amount of time from you planting your initial seeds and asking and receiving, you were able to get to where you are, and I'm sure you'll go a lot further. Now, I know as a business, most businesses have their brand or their marketing and the way that they do things. So what creative techniques did you use to start branding yourself?
Well, when you want to come out as an artist in the music industry, your visual image is incredibly important, and the first thing you need to do is hire a professional photographer. I got a pro photographer. We did a great photo shoot on barter, as a matter of fact. I bartered the photo shoot.
Oh, wow.
I'm a very resourceful girl. I bartered the photo shoot. I wanted an image that portrayed, you know, a little bit of sexy, but, you know, with some class, because I think that's the, you know, that embodies the image of house music that I want to, you know, portray. And I basically use that image for everything. It is, unless I have a special event photo, that's the image that is on every single one of my presences online, on my own DJ page, on my MySpace page, on Facebook, on Twitter, on any of them. That's my image. It's on my business card. It's on my letterhead. It's on my press kits. It's on my portfolios. When I walk in and hand something to anyone, they see my card. And even if I don't look like that when they first see me, they look at my card and they go, I know who you are. And that creates a brand. And I really kind of stuck with that. And it's been very helpful. I've stuck with a simple theme in terms of visual appeal, and I've tried to keep my marketing content fresh.
And it is a great picture, and it pretty much says exactly, I mean, you can just read it just by looking at it. I mean, just looking at your picture for your brand. Did you learn a lot about marketing, or did someone, you know, kind of help you out?
I was always a natural at marketing. Like fresh out of high school, I was really good in sales and telemarketing sales. And when I got into college, my first marketing class, I took the classes under marketing because I thought it would make me a good entrepreneur. And they do. I really would. Anybody that wants to be an entrepreneur, learn your marketing. Get a marketing degree rather than a straight business degree, because it's going to give you an edge. My first marketing class I got into, it was really kind of strange. I knew everything, and I didn't know how I already knew all this. I finally went back and got the degree in marketing, and I'd say at the university level, my, you know, junior and senior year at university level, the projects were a little more intense. It did push me a little further, and I learned a few more things that had to do more with global market research, international markets, and things of that, you know, level. And it sort of drove home and reminded me of all the basic theories of marketing, which is, you know, your continuity and your brand and your image, you know, how you put yourself out there in the marketplace, what your product, you know, what your distribution channels are, and how do you fit price-wise in the marketplace. And you really need to think about all of those things when you put yourself together as a package.
Wow, I can see how, you know, your music shows just from the way you explain that, how, I mean, I'm just so happy to have you on. I can't wait to get to your track.
And that track that I sent you is a major accomplishment for me, by the way. I told you I became a DJ with no equipment, and I told you that story, and I became a producer with no studio. And I got that because of my marketing. I was promoting for a residency that I got it from a local little club, and I got the attention of a producer that owned a studio in my area. And he came out to see what I was doing, and he really liked my enthusiasm and my passion, and he wanted me to come see a studio. So I go and I see a studio and I walk in and my jaw hit the floor. It was just amazing. I had never really seen one of this caliber. And I was like, wow, okay, this is nice. And he says, yeah, I really want to, you know, make a track with you. You have a lovely voice. I want you to sing. And I'm like, are you smoking crack? I'm like, I can't sing. He says, oh, yes, you can. You just don't know it yet. And he got me all fired up. And that night I went home and wrote the lyrics to my first track at like 4 o'clock in the morning. Called Glad to Groove. That was how I got my first production going, with a collaboration with that guy in that studio.
Wow.
My first two releases are collaboration. That one came out as an EP, and then I also did a remix for the Synth DJs called The Saviors of Electronica. That was also another collaboration in the studio. This track that I sent you, which is called To Stain With Love, is my graduation into the realm of production completely solo. So that track was made completely on my own. Absolutely no help whatsoever from anyone. I just had the opportunity to debut it in Spain in a live audience at Paradis, one of the largest clubs in the world, and got rave reviews and even a few screams back, if I remember correctly. My head was kind of reeling. It was such an ultimate experience, but I do remember lots of warmth and passion coming back from the audience on it, so I hope you enjoy it too.
You're listening to thinkbigradio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. DJ Teresa, can you please get out your contact information once more time for our listeners who may be tuning in?
Sure, sure. That would be www.djteresa.net.
Great. What we're going to do now is we're going to play your track, and that way we'll get back to the interview instead of saving it for last.
Okay, that sounds good. I'm here.
All right. DJ Teresa, To Spain With Love. Enjoy. We'll be right back. I'm going to give you a second to catch your breath, because if you was dancing like me.
Thank you. I'm glad to dig it.
I wish I could have been in the middle of that club, because my shirt would have been off and I'd have been dripping wet with sweat.
Ooh, well, I get to go back and headline the same club, and they do this really cool party called Fiesta del Agua. And there's a big center round, and it's like got steps down into it, and big. It's surrounded by big ivory columns. And in the middle of the show for the DJ event, a thing comes down from the ceiling and dumps 30,000 gallons of water in the middle of the pit and turns it into a wading pool while the DJ's going with the lights going off. And so if you're sweaty, it won't matter.
That is great. I'd have to see that.
Well, they do stream it live. You can go to their website and check it out. It's www.sesparadis.com. You can look at videos of some of their Fiesta del Agua parties and see some pictures of the club. It's actually a really nice place. I think some clubs in America need to take note.
Wow. And you say it's S-E-S Paradise?
Yeah, S Paradis. ESPARADIS.com.
Well, I'm going to have to check that out.
And the song sounded fantastic on their system, so I'm hoping to get it signed this year. I'm shopping it right now through record labels. I've had one remix come in from a good friend of mine, Chris Deck, who I've worked with in the past. I've got some other people who've showed some interest in it, so hopefully it'll be something that people can see out available for sale maybe in the spring.
Well, at the rate you're going, I'm sure that it's something that's going to happen soon.
Thank you so much. That's really heartwarming to hear. I met a lot of really wonderful people in the last 10 days, and it's making me blush because I've heard that a few times. And, you know, it's almost surreal, you know, when you get into something like this. This is really living a dream. I mean, I'm sure other people, you know, want to own different, you know, normal businesses, for lack of a better word, you know, and are passionate about it. But I think when it comes to somebody that's artistic and creative, they're passionate about it and live it to like a whole different level. So achieving a certain level of success on it is really kind of mind-boggling and surreal, because it seems like the things that only dreams are made of, you know. And so you're not sure if it's actually real when things start to come into place and happen. But, it, you know, I don't let that shatter me or deter me from my course. I'm still on path.
Okay, now, if you had 5 minutes, and I know we talked about a lot of different things and a lot of different concepts, but just for general, if you had 5 minutes to give the key to business success, what step-by-step method would you share with our listeners?
It starts with organization and solid planning. A lot of people kind of want to just slingshot past that step, because it's always, you know, it's exciting to do the concept process, and it's really exciting to do the initial getting it off the ground process. It's really kind of boring and a pain in the butt to sit down and do the business plan and the marketing plan and think about all the what ifs and do all the little analytical things of it. But when you miss that step, you set yourself up for failure. So it's an absolute necessity to really sit down and analyze your marketplace to start with and be sure you position your business correctly, or you've really just come out the gate losing already. Definitely get a good book on marketing. And one that I read recently that I can recommend, I unfortunately don't know the artist name on it, but it's called Your Marketing Sucks. It's a very small book, extremely fast read, and very It's definitely like a down-to-earth, very blunt, bare-bones approach to it, and quite a funny read, actually, and very, very helpful and useful.
Are there any special tools that you may use or little tricks that you want to share with our listeners or the other DJs out there that kind of gets you over?
Let's see, any special tools? No. I've always functioned on the basic principles of, you know, practice and dedication. I practice DJing the way that I used to practice an instrument. You have to practice an instrument 3, 4, 5 hours a day if you really want to be number one. And if you want to be a good DJ, you have to practice and approach it from a very serious point of view. Putting that time in is absolutely essential. Outside of that, learn everything you can. Network with other people that are in your field, that are on your level. Talk to them about their challenges and their successes. Definitely go out there and get as much reading material as you can. One of the most exciting things that I started with was a DVD, of all things, called Intellect, which is almost like a documentary where they went out and they interviewed everybody big in the electronic music industry and basically asked a lot of similar questions about what makes it successful, what you can give for, you know, advice to someone that wants to be an up-and-coming DJ. And a lot of the things in that DVD still stick with me in my head to this day. So I recommend that very highly.
There's a possibility you might be in the remix version of that DVD.
That's funny. The other thing I can recommend for anybody that's really wanting to break in DJing and production world on the electronic music level is you absolutely must go to Winter Music Conference, and you must go and take it seriously. Yes, there are tons and tons and tons of parties going on down there, and then every corner somebody's messed up, but you have to go down there and take it seriously and really go for the business aspect of it at least once to wrap your head around it. And even then, it still takes outside work and learning on your part. The classes and the breakouts with Winter Music Conference are very helpful, but when you go to enough of them, you start realizing that the things that they're telling you are basic common sense stuff that apply to any business model and not just the music industry. What you find there are some classes that can really show you the differences in business models between other industries and the music industry. Music industry does have a lot of really neat characteristics to it in the way that it functions. It has unique sets of legal issues that go along with it that really require a fair amount of understanding, even to the basic artist. You don't want to put yourself completely in the hands and trust someone else with your whole entire life and your whole entire career. You need to make sure that you understand where you're going and how you go about it so that you don't get taken advantage of. It's a very, very, very ugly business.
Wow, if that isn't big advice, I don't know what is. That was one of the most wise things that anyone can take from this interview, and this clearly is coming from a lady who is at the top of her game.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the compliment.
Oh, it's just real. That's how I feel about what I'm learning here this evening. And I also looked up Your Marketing Sucks, that book's by Mark Stevens.
Yep, that would be it.
So you guys want to really pick that up if you want to learn a little bit about what's in her head and what did she do to get there. Now, I know you mentioned that that is your passion, but what can you share with our listeners, something that, you know, most people just don't know about you, something that might be odd or a sport or just something that you like to do that's never really brought up?
Well, it used to get brought up more often, but music has really consumed me, and I don't really, I'm not that much into it, but I used to race sailboats, and I was a member at Davis Island Yacht Club here in Tampa for a while. I was four-deck crew on a J120 race boat for 4 years, I believe. Four-deck is a really tough little job on the front of the boat, and you get beat up a whole lot. I was the only woman on a crew of all 8 men. I raced from Clearwater to Key West several times. You're offshore, don't see land for 2 days, at least 3 hours on, 3 hours off. And it's a whole different world out there on the ocean. It can be, it's very, very, it'll help you get in touch with yourself. Something I would recommend highly, have a good sport, have a good hobby. And you can learn a lot about yourself in that. I learned that I'm a very good team player in the process of working on the sailboat.
Wow. That had to be something to be the only woman out there.
There's very few of them, and you know, to be a well-skilled one and a respected one on a heavy-duty race boat, a J120 is a 40-foot race boat on steroids. I mean, it's usually the top of its class, top of its fleet. You sail in the most horrendous conditions. I've sailed in 6-foot rollers and 25, 45 knot winds, and I've sailed through Florida Bay and had the boat knocked over by a squall that came through completely by surprise in the middle of the night. People got thrown out of their bunks on the other side of the boat. That'll really rattle you for a second. You're like, whoa, it just happened. So I've been through some adventurous and dangerous conditions. With that, it can be very exhilarating. I enjoyed doing it, and I was very much into it at the time. I mean, there was a period of time where between working and racing, I went for 3 months without a day off, essentially. But I really loved it, and it was great. I got in a car accident, injured my back, and I, you know, after that, I was kind of worried about further injury. And it's a very demanding sport, so I kind of took it back to like just going out on occasional wonderful sunny days for some pleasure sailing. And I still run into my sailing buddies once in a while, and occasionally they even come out to some of my DJ gigs. But you know, electronic music and you know Jimmy Buffett kind of are like oil and water. they don't so much understand the music that I play. So.
Well, it's good to see how everything is still intact, and you went from waves on the sea and the ocean to waves in the crowd.
What a neat analogy. That is fantastic. That tickles me. I'm going to have to write that one down.
Well, this is, you know, getting around to the part of the interview that, you know, all of us big thinkers seem to dread at times. It's the thank you part, which means our interview is coming to a close. So,
okay, that sounds lovely.
People out there you'd like to thank and anything?
Yeah. There's actually a lot of people I'd like to thank. I'd like to, the first person I have to thank is Bill Rice. Been my boyfriend. He's been very supportive. He helped make sure that I got to Spain last year when I had the opportunity to play in Ibiza. He has supported me through thick and thin. He even goes out and finds music for me. He's cued into the business, and he has a passion for it that no one else I've encountered has. And I can't thank him enough for that. And he's been there by my side no matter what. After that, I really have to thank the fans. There have been some really cool, like, dedicated fans, even when I didn't think I was big enough to have them. We'll start with Greg and Tony out in California. I've got quite a few local fans, Andrea King. I'm trying to think who else I have. Heather, Pascal, James, Mooj, Steve-O. Oh, and I definitely have to thank my man Pedro, I'm the promoter at Jackson, where I'm a resident DJ. His faith in me definitely helped me get started. He gave me my first opening gig opportunity here in Tampa on a large scale in a big club and supported me through my growth there and has been the launch that helped me get where I'm at. That he's been a crucial part of it, and he's still, I love to think of him as like my music big brother. Along with him, Tony Puccio, another fellow DJ of mine that's been a good friend as I've risen up through the ranks here locally. My family, and then people like you that have stopped to take an interest and, you know, ask me about it, because sometimes, you know, just the fact that I get to be excited and share my excitement, you know, bring sunshine to someone's day.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on. I know you had a busy schedule, and
I was
happy that, you know, even though you had that jet lag and everything and you're trying to catch up with yourself, you still came on today.
Yeah, it's like 4 a.m. to me right now. Still, I'm like, I've still flipped around on the time schedule, but I'm trying to get caught back up. Going over there is not so bad. Coming back is really brutal. But, no, I'm glad. I really enjoyed the interview. Thank you very much. I've been looking forward to it myself. I'm glad I could bring back an exciting experience to share with you, and thank you so much for playing my track and getting it out there. I really appreciate your feedback.
Oh, definitely. It's going to be in my iPod, and I can do a nice little workout to that.
All right, that sounds great. Well, anytime I can help you out again, you let me know. I'll be happy to be your guest anytime.
You're listening to thinkbigradio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. You just heard DJ Teresa from St. Petersburg, Florida, www.djteresa.net. That's djteresa.net. We're going to end this interview with a little bit of her song, To Spain with Love, once again. Thanks for thinking big, everyone.
You're listening to thinkbigradio.com. where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.
Thanks for taking big.